Testimonies are given for a couple of reasons. First of all, the one who testifies needs the experience of expression. Ours is an expressed faith. It's not passive. It's not just something we have. And once in a while, there's an intervention, and we go through life just enjoying that without ever sharing it. It's important that we share our victories. When I was a young Christian, way back when, longer than most of you would want to remember, longer than many of you are old, testimonial services were a regular part of our gatherings on Sunday evening particularly. And the pastors understood that those were times for people to express what God was doing in their life. The second part of that is that when a testimony is expressed, when you share your faith, your victories, and what God is doing in your life with someone else, it creates faith in their heart. They hear a story, they hear a witness, and they'll rejoice in what God has done for you. And then somewhere along life's long and often difficult pathway, they'll remember that story. That's why Jesus used stories so very, very often. They were a way of bringing clarity, a way of bringing perspective, a way for people to see how God could move into their lives through the very practical, even the mundane experiences of life. So testimonials help us, and who knows, out of someone else's testimony, there may be created within our lives a testimony of our own. They came into the service one Sunday morning about halfway through and sat down on the back row, a man and his wife, probably in their mid-50s, very, very sharply dressed, every appearance of being professional business people, which we would find out later they were. They sat through the service. At the end of the service, I made an altar appeal, and they came forward. John and Betty Orton gave their hearts to Christ that day. They had a nominal church background. They had gone to church all their lives. But neither one of them, for whatever reason, ever found Christ as their personal saviors. Well, they found Christ that day. And about a week later, I came to my office. And he said, "Pastor, are you free on Monday night?" I said, "Sure. Could you come over to my house?" I said, "Well, most certainly." He said, "Here's what's going to happen. I have two sons, and their wives and all their children. And none of my family knows Christ." And he said, "They're all coming to my house on Monday night because I told them to be there. And I want you to come and save them." I said, "Well, it doesn't work that way." He said, "Well, I don't care how it works, but," he said, "I want you there. I want you to preach to them. I want you to tell them how to get saved. And I've told them they've got to get their hearts right with God on Monday night." I said, "Well, I'll come and I'll share and I'll talk to your family. And let's just see what God does." He said, "Fair enough, you know." And, of course, you got to understand, Ike didn't understand a lot of things. He'd been in church all of his life, but he had never really met Christ, and he was just wanting his entire family in one fell swoop to get saved. So Monday night I go over, and I hadn't met his two sons. Great young men, lovely wives, and both had a lovely little brood of children running around. And finally Ike stands up and says, "All right, kids, sit down and shut up. It's time to settle in. We're going to hear from Pastor Young. Well, here's Ike's story. When Ike walked in that day, he and his wife Betty, he was dealing with severe alcoholism. He was an alcoholic, had been for years. Ike was one of the wealthiest men in the county. He owned various businesses and lived a very, shall I say, irresponsible life. His boys didn't have to work. And in fact, at that point, they didn't work. They just enjoyed all their toys, their motorhomes, and their race cars, and all the stuff that most guys sit around and dream about. They just had, took it for granted, didn't work. The wives were lovely women, just good women, trying to find their way in life, trying to get their children on the right way. And here they were, here they sat, very worldly, very material, but just as lost as a family could be, every member of it except Betty and Ike. Well, I shared the gospel that night, and at the end I said, now, how many of you family members want to pray? And all the hands went up. Children's hands were in the air, dad's hands were in the air, the boys, the wives. All the hands were up, and I said, well, here's what we're going to do. This is a family deal. We're going to pray a family prayer, and we're going to pray that Jesus will come into the lives of all the little children, and we're going to pray that, you know, John and Jerry, you guys will get saved, and Mary Ann and Sue, Jesus will come into your life, and Mom and Dad, John and Betty are here, and they're going to pray with you. So we prayed. And the whole family, the entire family that night, had a genuine conversion experience. They all came to Christ sitting in that living room. They all served God. They all began to show up at church and were still showing up at that church when I left and came to Minneapolis several years after that to teach. But God came in, and in one fell swoop, in one moment, changed a family. The boys sold their toys. They got jobs. Ike Orton was delivered from alcoholism. And that family remained faithful to God. Now, it's been several years since I've talked to any of them. Don't know where they're at now. Don't know what they're doing. But I know when I left there, the victory of Jesus was in their hearts. That's a testimony of what God can do. Now, here at the end of this service, I don't know what you need in your life. You've heard testimonies today about missions, about healing, about intervention, about God showing up and coming to help in the time of need, people being saved, families being saved. Within 30 minutes, an entire family walked into the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I don't know what need you brought here today, and I don't know why you came. You may have come expecting to hear Pastor Young preach. Well, come next Sunday, because I'll take the same sermon I had this morning, and I'll preach it next Sunday, right? Double mileage. That works. But God has a way of interdicting the events of our lives, stopping us in our tracks, and saying, there's things I want to do today, and I'd like to get you out of the way. And he does that. And I have no problem with that. There's people that I'd like to speak through today, and it doesn't have to be you. I like that too. And I believe here at the end of this service that if you have a need within your life, in your family, in your body, in your finances, maybe you're dealing with alcohol or drugs or some kind of sexual addiction. I don't know. I have no idea, but God knows, and you're not here by accident today, and this service is no accident today. God is here to speak to your life. I'm going to have Paul come back and lead us in a chorus, and as he's leading in that chorus, I'm going to ask you to come to these altars just as you feel a need within your life. I'm not going to mentally arm wrestle you. I'm not going to be clever or manipulative to get you to an altar. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. I could talk to you all day long, never get you to respond to God, and God can speak to your heart in 30 seconds. Your life can be changed. That's the difference between God and man. So I'm not even going to try. Paul's going to lead us in some worship. You can just stay seated where you are. I won't even have you stand. And as you feel prompted to come up to this altar and kneel or stand, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to ask Ed and Ann to come up to the front, and they're going to be up here to pray with you. I'll be up here to pray with you. We're not going to have a formal dismissal today. We're just going, this is the end of the service. And when you feel like God is done with your life, you can feel free to leave. That's all right. You're not offending anyone. You're not offending God. You're certainly not offending me. But if you're here and you have a need in your life, these testimonies today were given for a reason. And that reason is your change, your transformation, and God meeting your need. So just come. Come and kneel. Come and stand. Do as you wish. Stay as long as you wish. And let's let God move in our hearts today. Amen? Are you willing to do that? Willing to take those steps today? God bless you today. Thanks for being here. We will see you next Sunday. But right now, respond to God. Don't leave until you know that you have responded to God.